You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, August 15th, 2019, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be much joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, welcome to the second Sunday of a season of gratitude here at St. Thomas. That's how I'm hoping we'll live this year, this whole year, in gratitude for all that we have and all that we are. In gratitude for the love of Christ Jesus, which fills our hearts. And in gratitude for this community, where we come together to live and practice that love. This summer, as the stewardship team gathered to begin planning the year, that's what kept emerging for us, gratitude. Gratitude for God's love and gratitude for each other. So we decided to just call it that and invite us all to turn our hearts to gratitude this year. Once again this morning, we have an opportunity to express our gratitude to God and for our lives together here. You'll find attached to your worship sheet two cards, one of which says, "I'm grateful to God for blank." And the second says, "I'm grateful for St. Thomas because blank." Fill those in, if you would, and drop them in the offering plate, or B. Covington will be over here at the stewardship team table following worship. You can leave them with her. We've reviewed all of them that came in from last week, and they just filled my heart, and I think they'll fill your hearts, too, when we all have a chance to share them together. Gratitude isn't just something that we say, you know, perfunctorily, "Oh, thank you very much." Gratitude is a way of living, a way of seeing the world and being in the world that's really life-giving. So one thing I'm particularly grateful for is last Sunday. We celebrated Homecoming Sunday, and it was just wonderful. I mean, you'll see in your worship sheet this morning, we had 52 stations set up all across the campus, and those stations were staffed by more than 70 committed volunteers to showcase the great ministry opportunities we have here at St. Thomas. It was really a glorious day, and it was a great testament that so many of us feel that St. Thomas is our spiritual home. We know that however far we may travel or wander, this home is always waiting for us. So how interesting it is that we come to three parables this morning about wandering and returning, about losing and finding. Now, you may be saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, Lex, I was paying attention, and I only heard two parables being read. Where's the third one?" Well, the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel finds Jesus telling three parables to his friends and to the religious authorities who were grumbling that he'd invited tax collectors, sinners, and other undesirables to sit down and have dinner with him. So, good teacher that Jesus is, instead of lecturing them or pointing the finger at them, he tells them stories. three of them. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, those two were the ones we read a minute ago. And right after those, which our lectionary doesn't include today, is the very familiar parable of the prodigal son. And all of these parables are certainly about how God values what seems to be lost, about how God relentlessly reaches out to find and recover what looks like it's been lost. Now, if you're anything like me, you've been lost a time or two in your life, and not just when driving from point A to point B. I mean, I'm lost as in I'm looking for home and I can't find my way back. I shared with you all over the email a couple of days ago a story when I was 7 years old and my father took me to a high school football game for the first time. And there were bright lights and lots of people and it all kind of felt a little overwhelming. And then at halftime, he said, come on, let's go to the concession stand. And so we did, and he ran into a friend or two along the way. He stopped to chat with them. And then I don't know how this happened, but somehow we got separated. And here I am in the midst of all the bright lights and the noise and the band, and everybody around me is 10 feet tall. I don't know what to do. And so I just burst into tears. And then all of a sudden over the loudspeaker, Lex Breckenridge. Your father is looking for you. Please report to the concession stand. Well, I didn't know where the concession stand was. And so some nice man saw my distress, and he said, come on, I'll take you to the concession stand. And there my dad was, all 6'3" of him, and he picked me up and gave me the fiercest hug I've ever had in his life because, you know, if you think I was terrified, how do you think he felt? Right? It was every parent's worst nightmare. Every parent's worst nightmare. And he was looking for me relentlessly. And he found me. And I can still feel the warmth of that embrace, the warmth of that hug today. I mean, it was like that lost sheep that Jesus was talking about. And so I hope you know the joy, the relief when you find home or when home finds you once again. It's the relief, really, of finally allowing ourselves to be found by God. The relentless God. The God who never forgets us. The God who never loses us. The God who, even though we too often try to hide ourselves away, keeps chasing us until he finally runs us down. You know, that's sure what these stories are all about. But there's something else going on here that I'd like to spend a minute or so on. I mean, think about who Jesus' audience for these stories are. The religious authorities, the men who are righteous, the men who can do no wrong, I mean, at least as far as they're concerned, the ones, that is to say, who are dead certain that they have earned God's favor. Now, keep that word earned in mind. So these righteous religious authorities are just scandalized when they find that Jesus has been sharing table fellowship with those who had broken moral laws and those who had broken the ritual codes of purity. I don't know about you, but I've fallen off the straight and narrow a time or two in my life. Have you? You know, maybe not strictly observed all the ritual purity codes of our culture. Maybe not, you know, observed by every jot and tittle, every moral law that's been laid down. And I've been on the wrong end of some pretty serious finger wagging by some pretty self-assured folks. You know, it's not fun. In fact, it can be downright shaming. The irony here is that the grumbling of the religious authorities is meant to remind us of the grumbling of the people of Israel in the wilderness when they were unhappy with Moses' leadership, and really, when they were really unhappy with God. Yet even in the face of all their grumbling and all their acting out, God showed mercy. So fast forward about 1,200 years to Jesus being the object of the grumbling because he's showing mercy to someone besides the religious authorities who, after all, thought they had earned God's favor. And they were sure that those others, or as we say in West Virginia, them others, he was sure them others, those sinners, hadn't earned God's favor. So they must have been offended by the first parable, which Jesus pointedly concludes by saying, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent, or who at least don't think they need to repent. And Jesus is clearly pointing to them and all their self-righteousness and all their arrogant certainty that they're right and that them others, those sinners, are wrong. In the second parable, the righteous persons who have no need of repentance have disappeared. We don't see them any longer. They seem to have lost their place. And the focus isn't on the transactional nature of repentance, which can sometimes be mistaken for earning God's favor. Instead, the focus is on celebration. The focus is on gratitude. The focus is on God's joy over the ones who respond to God's mercy. And the rejoicing calls for celebration. The parable invites the righteous to join the celebration and to give thanks for God's mercy instead of calculating who's earned what. Finally, just a brief word about the parable we didn't read, the parable of the prodigal son, which is so important to Jesus' point. You remember that the older brother, who's pretty unhappy that his father's celebrating the return of his worthless little brother, who's gone off and blown his inheritance on wine, women, and song. The older son says, "I've been a good and dutiful son," he says self-righteously to his father. "I've followed all the rules, and you've never thrown a party for me." And his father tenderly replies, "My son, you're always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost, and now he's been found." You know, I've heard it said that we too often want mercy for ourselves and justice for others. Know what I mean? I mean, I hate to confess that this is a thought that's not unknown to me. There have been plenty of times when I've been secretly thankful that God doesn't give me what I deserve, while at the same time looking at them others and hoping they get what I think they deserve. And I'll bet I'm not the only one. But Jesus tells these parables to call us to celebrate with God, because God's been merciful not only to us, but to them others, to those sinners, those undesirables, the ones we wouldn't have invited to sit around our table. This is such an important word for us in these anxious and divisive times. Jesus has prepared the table for all of us, and he invites all of us to the feast. You know, too often, I don't care which side of the aisle you're sitting on, but too often we think of ourselves as being the 99. We think of ourselves as being the righteous ones who don't need any repentance. And we secretly wonder why God wastes his time on searching for that other sheep. You know, the sheep that doesn't agree with me. But I'm here to tell you that we aren't complete. We aren't whole without the very ones we disapprove of. We are only 99. Without that other one. And if we live in the self-satisfaction of believing our own press releases, believing that we alone are right and righteous and beloved by God, we just might be surprised to find that God is all somewhere else, looking for that one lost sheep, that one sinful sheep, that one undesirable sheep, that sheep that doesn't agree with me. And here's an irony for you. It seems that God's the God of the 1%. And we, the 99, aren't complete without that 1%. We need each other, even the ones we don't agree with. You know, my dear sisters and brothers, the truth of the matter is that at various times in our lives, we have each one of us been that lost sheep, lost and longing to be found by God. And we've also been among the 99. You know how that feels. Certain that we're favored, certain that we have it all figured out, certain that we are right. Well, thank God that God has mercy on us both when we're lost and when we think we're not. And God calls us all home all the time. So, once again on this day, welcome home to all of us. God has called us home today right here at St. Thomas. In worship, in study, in prayer, and in service, this is one place where we'll find our true home. a place where we might know God's acceptance, a place where we might know God's mercy. And we don't have to earn it. It's the good news. We just have to embrace it. We just have to fall into it. We just have to show up. We just have to jump in and participate. So welcome to a new year. Welcome to a season of gratitude. Welcome home to St. Thomas. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.